Father, we are so thankful this morning that you have brought us back together to worship and to praise your holy name. We rejoice in your great salvation and how great that salvation is, that you have redeemed us out of the miry pit of sin and placed our feet on the solid rock, that rock that shall never and can never be moved. Father, we just rejoice in how great our God is and how mighty are the works of his hands. As he is molding and shaping and forming a people and bringing them into your purpose, O Lord, to unveil them in the earth. What a joy it is to see your handiwork, to hear your words of revelation. Father, to be in your presence, to walk with you in this life. Father, we thank you for the trust that you have placed within us and that we are being placing in you as we learned to trust and to lean on you for everything that we need in this life. Father, we praise you, we adore you, we worship you, we lift you up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. For some time now, I've been considering the potter. The potter that forms a vessel out of the clay. And you know, when that vessel is formed, it's nothing really pretty to look at. And even when they put the glaze on it, it's not very pretty to look at. But the master potter knows exactly what to do when he places those vessels in the kiln and begins to put the fire to it and raise it up to over 2,000 degrees. And, you know, it has to be done exactly or the pots can burst or crack. And it's only after the door's removed and the pots are taken out of the kiln that you can begin to see the beauty of the potter's hands. When you see the glaze that has turned into the beautiful colors. And, you know, that's what God has done with us. We are the clay in the potter's hands. We are the gold that is being refined. We are the silver that's being refined. The silversmith and the goldsmith can only know that when they see their reflection that they has been refined to the place where it's supposed to be. And that's what God's doing in us. All the dross, everything that is in us that is not of Him is being raised to the top and flows off, that He may be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our lives. And that in this walk we were in, what we are learning, that God has nothing but good for us. Now we look in this physical realm and we see a lot of things going on that we wouldn't attribute to being good, the things that are touching our lives. But in the spiritual realm, all things are working together for good to bring forth the manifestation of His sons in the earth. In 2 Peter 4 and verse 3, the word says, according as His divine power hath, past tense, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
What verse is that?
Verse 3, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence. You know, we've talked about what God has done, and I think it's important that we see ourselves as our Father sees us. We look through these natural eyes, and many times all we see is the decrepit human flesh and blood and all that it brings to us. But our God does not look through human eyes. Our God came and identified with man and walked on this earth with him, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended back into glory, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are his dwelling place. We are covered over by his blood. We're washed and made clean by his blood, by the washing of the water of the Word. And he said that he has his divine power, according to his divine power. Not our power, his power. We said earlier, as we were talking, that Paul said that we do not put confidence in man or in the flesh. You know, we have no confidence in our ability, in what we can do. For Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I only do the things I see my Father do, and I only speak the things I hear him speak. Therefore, when Jesus spoke, he spoke the Word of God. And that's what God is bringing us to. To place that when we speak into creation, we're speaking his Word. Even now in our daily lives, we do not know the things that we, as we live in this life and as we walk in this natural life, the things that others may see in us. Not because of any goodness that we are, but who he is in us, that they see, that they desire. So it's according to his power, to his divine power, that he has bestowed on us, or given to us, all things. Nothing's left out. All things that pertain to life and godliness, or God life. See, that's what we are. Is that we are spirit. We came out from God. We are spirit. And that spirit you cannot see. But we know that the Christ lives within us. That God dwells in us. And that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how has he given us to us? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. As we've said many times before, that word knowledge, when you go through the, more especially Paul's writings, he talks about that. Through the knowledge of Christ, through the understanding of Christ, through the understanding of who God is, through knowing him. And how do we know him? You know, it's good to come and sit together in times like this. It's wonderful to be able to have fellowship one with another. It's wonderful to be able to walk together in fellowship. But in these times, we don't get to know God. When we get to know God and to understand who he is when we're walking with him in that relationship in our personal lives. Learning to trust him in the everyday walk. Learning to know that he has not devised evil against us, but that he has devised good for us. That he that began the good work in us is going to bring that work to fruition. That he has given us the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. You know, in verse, Message Bible says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. You know, we are, as God has taught us through his word of revelation, concerning the unveiling of the sons of God, the manifestation of His sons. You know, the thing is that comes from knowing Him personally and intimately. This is the manifestation of the sons of God is a corporate son. It's a many-membered son. But the manifestation of the sons of God is also a personal manifestation. It comes through our personal, intimate relationship with Him. And the way we get there is that getting to know Him personally and intimately. Our thoughts and our understanding of who God is has changed dramatically through the years. Used to see Him as a God that set with vengeance, just waiting to send men's souls to hell. A God that was to be feared. But then we understand the word fear is to reverence, to respect. So over the years, our understanding of who He is has so changed. And in this hour, when God has called us aside, you know, when I say that, I don't mean that He's called you to go out and to isolate yourself from all humanity and to buy a cave somewhere to dwell in or a cabin out in a remote area and separate. No, He has drawn us aside in that spiritual realm to become, to have fellowship and intimacy with Him in that realm. To hear His voice of revelation. Because that's what Paul said at the sound of the last trump. That last message going forth. As we behold Him, we are changed from glory unto glory. Our lives are changed. You know, you don't look at the outside and you don't see that all the time. You see good people. You see people that don't go out and murder and steal and kill and those things. But that's not what He's talking about. We are raised from one dimension of consciousness, of God consciousness, to a higher dimension of God consciousness. Our mind, our soul, is being metamorphosed by the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation that God has given us. We are being changed. Our thinking is being changed. We have come to the place of unconditional love. We have come to the place of no judgment and no condemnation. We know that God has taken care of sin on the cross. And we know that God is going to take care of those who don't know Him in this hour. That the seed of the Christ is in every man. But the fact of the matter is that to bring us to unveiling and to bring us to the place of manifestation, it is through our understanding of who He is. You know, when you know something, you can speak it forth. That was Jesus. When He walked up to the grave of Lazarus, what did He say? God, I know that You've already heard Me. But for the sake of those that stand by, I'm going to ask. You know, He knew. Jesus knew before He got there that Lazarus was already dead, and He tarried. And when He got to the grave, He knew that He knew that He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when He spoke the words, Lazarus come forth, that Lazarus was going to come forth out of that grave. That when He walked up through the funeral procession and spoke to the young man, He knew that he was going to be healed. He knew those things that were going to happen because God had showed them. God had spoken to them within it. And when you know something, it gives you confidence to speak that forth. Hallelujah. And that's what God is bringing us. When you know God in intimacy and in the knowledge and the understanding of Him, that when He says something, you can count on it. He's not going to back down. He's not going to change it. He means it. When He speaks to you, He means it. If He was to say to Tommy this morning, Tommy, your knee is going to be healed. Knees are going to be totally healed. Regardless that he's had a knee replacement, you know what's going to, and me too, it's going to be healed. When God speaks it, it's His Word. And that's the confidence that we have in Him. And that's the confidence that we are coming to have in Him. That when He speaks something, we can count on it. He will not put us out on a limb and then cut the limb off. He won't do it when He speaks. And that's where coming in, knowing His voice and knowing when He speaks. Because everything that goes into life of pleasing God has been given us by getting to know personally and intimately the One who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. Hallelujah. The best invitation we've ever received. No man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. And no matter where in our lives or under what circumstance in their lives that we came to know God, it was because of the invitation that God gave us. His predetermined, predestinated time came together at that point where you came to know Him. And it was the best invitation we've ever had. It totally changed our lives, our direction of our lives. And you know, today we are becoming intimately involved with Him. You can hear all kinds of new revelations, and they're wonderful to hear. But I'm going to tell you, there is a people that is going to walk out these revelations that God has given us. I mean, you can't come into a deeper revelation until you walk in that which He's already spoken. And you can't walk in that which He's already spoken until you get to know Him and to know that you can trust Him. Proverbs Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You see, the reason that is lean not unto your own understanding is because man's ways are not God's ways. God's ways are high above man's ways. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Neither does he know them. The only way that the spiritual things of God can be understood is by the Spirit. When you try to reason out why God said to do something, then you're going to lose it. Because a natural man cannot understand those things. So when God is bringing us into manifestation, the natural man has to kind of kick out of gear and go into neutral. Because he can't understand what the spiritual man is doing. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine understanding and with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Not part of them, but in all thy ways trust in Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He said, I will guide you with mine eye. We look at the what the implications of manifestation are. We look at what we see as the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. That when that happens, this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruptible. And we look at that, and in our natural mind we say, what an impossibility that is. But in our spiritual mind, in our heart, that spiritual man says, yay, hallelujah. All things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with Him. So as we get to know Him, we lean on Him, we trust in Him, and He directs our paths. He shows us the pathway that we are to take. He's going to lead us into the pathway that is going to lead us into the direction and into the fullness of the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's the only thing we can do, is come into His presence and have intimacy with Him and walk with Him, knowing that the word that He gives us is going to change our lives completely. Because when His words become spirit, spirit brings change within us. In verse 4, for just a moment, he says, whereby we are given unto us great, exceedingly and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. By means of these, He has bestowed on us His precious and exceeding and great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. See, these are the promises that He has given us. To be a partaker of the divine nature. Ephesians 1 tells us very plainly that God hath raised Him up and seated Him at the right hand of the Father, and that under His feet has been placed all power and all principalities and every name that is named, in heaven and in earth. And then in chapter 2, God says that you and I have been raised up and seated with God, or with Christ, in heavenly places. Now, beloved, you see, seeing ourselves as God sees us. God sees us sitting in the throne with Him. The natural man says, how can that be? Look at me. Look at all the decrepitness that comes out of me, that is. But the fact of the matter is that this natural man, it will be taken care of at manifestation. But that our soul is being renewed and metamorphosed by the Word of God. By seeing where we are. Seeing where we are. You know, that's the thing about it. We have been so taught so many times that this is such a decrepit, depraved thing that we are. And that we have to do this and the other things to please God. But God says, look, you are. Paul said, now we are the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but this we know, that when we see Him, and if you're looking for Him in the natural realm, you'll never see Him. But when you see Him spiritually, in that spirit realm, you shall be like Him. You and I have been given these precious promises that we can partake of the divine nature of our Father, that He has brought us out of the pits and the clays of sin, placed our feet upon the solid rock, and has a purpose for our lives. And it was not His purpose for us to remain where we were. Many of us came to know Him through a church or denomination. But His purpose for us was not that we remain there, but that we grow and progress and come to this place where we are today. His hand that has been laid so heavily upon us that no man can change that which God has done. No man can take you out of His hand. That we are His children, We are seated now in heavenly places with Him in that spirit man. And that as we come and walk intimately with Him, He unveils, He gives us the revelation of His Word that is going to bring us into the manifestation of His sons. It is His work. He has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, a God life. He has given it to us. He has already given it to us. But it's as we walk with Him intimately that it is unveiled in our lives. That word that He has spoken becomes a reality. That revelation that He has unveiled to us don't just become a bunch of words, but becomes life and spirit and a reality within us. That He is a reality within us. Not just something that's out there somewhere or something that is a phantom, but a reality. He is closer than the breath that we breathe. We are His dwelling place. We are His temple. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His sons. We are those whom He has called and chosen for this time to be a part of what He's doing. And it's all about seeing ourselves as God sees us. Seeing ourselves, and the seeing ourselves as God sees us, is beginning to believe what He has spoken concerning us. And when we look at Him in the spirit realm, we see such an awesome God. Wow, an awesome God. One that not only formed and created us in His image and in His likeness and lowered us into this dimension of time, but even before then, knowing that man would fail, made a way of escape, came down Himself. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Hallelujah. How awesome is our God. And how wonderful He is. And we just praise Him forever. Amen.